Hello, all you lovely listeners. This is Carly Akins, and you're listening to the Music's Journey podcast with my new pal, Kim Sear.
You just heard the snippet of the brand new single, Tougher, by my special guest today. We are going to play that in just a little bit. I'm going to get behind the music, the lyrics, and the artist here on Music's Journey. I have an amazing show for you all today. Carly Akins has been touring the world for over a decade and recording in countless albums as a band member, a backup singer, and session vocalist. And now she's emerged for the first time as a solo artist for her forthcoming EP called Junk Jewelry, which is out later on this year. She is standing center stage right where she belongs, and she is so empowering as a singer-songwriter, and I have been a fan for a long time now, and she is Canadian royalty as far as I'm concerned, and I am thrilled to have her on the show. So welcome, Carly.
Thank you. Thank you for that lovely intro.
Oh, girl, you're so special.
Oh,
so special. There's only very few times in my life where I get moved by somebody's voice. And when I met you in San Francisco at the Fillmore, I was blown away right from the start with your personality, your voice. You know, you just got a real gift, and we're so grateful to be able to hear it.
Thank you so much. That means a lot to me.
You're such a special person, I'm telling you.
Thank you.
See, I told you.
I feel the same about you.
Oh, God bless your soul. Ever since I heard your first note, I've been such a big fan. Congratulations. This is such an amazing journey for you right now.
Thank you. It's been a long one, but long overdue, and I'm happy that it's finally in motion.
It's like a butterfly being released, isn't it?
Yes, I like to think of it that way. Yeah. I'm emerging from my cocoon.
All that color you've got inside of you, you know, that bright soul and that bright light. I keep saying every time I hear your voice, you're Alanis Morissette and Janis blended together in an R&B soul body. I don't know.
Oh, wow. Okay. That is a huge compliment.
you've just got an incredible voice. You have to have been told you sound like her.
Like Janis?
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah, well, I'm in this Toronto super group that plays the greatest songs of all time called Dwayne Gretzky. And I sing Another Little Piece of My Heart really at every show. Mm. And but, you know, for years was told at bars by old men heckling me, sing Bobby McGee, you sound like Janis. And I, funnily enough, I have always had respect for her, but it wasn't like she was a huge influence vocally for me, really. It kind of inadvertently, I guess, I just have that similar tone. So, yes, I am told that very often.
But Alanis Morissette, though.
I really appreciate it.
Alanis
yes. was like my hugest influence, you know, as most Canadian girls at that time when Jagged Little Pill came out. Yeah, I was obsessed with that record, and I think I have great respect for her as an artist. She has amazing integrity, and yeah, so that's a huge compliment as well. Yeah. And she definitely influenced me when I was a young child.
It's special, you know, when you're hearing you do those soulful notes, and that's where the first place my head goes is Alanis Morissette.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
First place. Okay, so let's take it back to the beginning of your musical journey, because you started out in music theater and you played in a band with your brother. Tell us about that story, about when you first got the music bug.
Yeah, Fox Jaws was really the first kind of rock and roll band I was a part of. And like you said, I was trained in theater growing up and started performing professionally in theater at a very young age. And I loved it and kind of had visions for myself being on Broadway. And around when I kind of left high school, my brother had joined this band, Fox Jaws. And I grew up with a lot of incredible musicians that now have toured the world and moved from Barrie, Ontario, where I'm from, to Toronto to pursue music. So I was surrounded by a lot of male energy, rock and roll male energy. And I just always wanted to kind of try and insert myself, you know, into their jams and whatever, but it was intimidating because they were all such proficient musicians and I was just a singer. So I was really trying to like fit in with that group of guys, and my brother was a part of that group. Anyway, he had joined this band and I kind of started coming to their rehearsals and we started writing together, and I became part of the lineup, but at the same time was working professionally in theater. And I kind of had to, I came to a crossroads where I had to make a choice between really pursuing theater or, you know, I couldn't do both because mm-hmm. if I had a contract, I would have to bow out of the band for a couple months, and that doesn't really work for band momentum. And so I kind of had an ultimatum, not necessarily from the band, but more from myself, mm-hmm. what I really wanted to pursue and commit to. And I just felt more at home and at ease, you know, on a stage singing songs that lyrics that I had written as opposed to performing someone else's words. And that just kind of called to me more. And so, and you know, my brother being a part of it certainly helped because he's my big bro and I wanted to hang with him. So
he's got to be so proud of you.
I think that he is. And I'm really proud of him too. You know, he's a father now and he still plays music. He's in a band called Indian Handcrafts. We've been a band for over 10 years. He's also a really talented designer and has designed most of the artwork and stuff for my record. So it's nice to have a designer in the fam.
You are too.
I'm more of a visual artist. He's more of like digital, you know, so it's great to work with him because we can kind of lend each other's skills to each other. And so he's also a designer and I'm super proud of him. And he's always been a huge support for me. And definitely when I was, you know, 19, 20 and around a lot of dudes, he definitely protected me and always made me feel safe in that environment. And it was great to have my brother around for that.
Oh, you know, it's always nice when you've got somebody that you can lean on, you know, that you mm-hmm. can trust in this industry, you know, because
absolutely.
It's not easy. That's for sure.
No.
You've expressed yourself in art and in paintings, and you've got so many pieces that are, you know, in homes across Ontario that when you grew mm-hmm. up in Barrie. So tell us a little bit about that and what that meant to you and how that kind of fits in to your writing. Because as you said, I didn't realize your brother did that too. That's mm-hmm. it's got to be a whole part, you know, of that creative flow for you guys.
Yeah, our parents are very creative people in their own right and kind of introduced me to theater along with my uncle Paul, who has since passed sadly, but he was my mentor growing up. So I was surrounded with a really artistic, you know, family that never strayed us from those pursuits. They always supported them and, you know, they weren't that kind of family that was like, well, that's a fine hobby, but what are you really going to do with your life? And, you know, at times I've maybe wish that they did encourage me to pursue something else, to be honest. But
say that.
But I mean, I'm joking, but you know, it's a hard life to be an artist, and they've been majorly supportive of that, and I couldn't have gotten where I am now without their support. But my mom was always, you know, really creative and set up a studio for us as kids so that we could always be doing crafts and painting and whatnot. And I had some teachers that were also visual artists and noticed that I had kind of a natural talent and helped nurture that. So I was lucky in that way. And so, yeah, it's been amazing to have kind of two artistic disciplines to mm-hmm. alternate between. The visual artist side often has been put to the wayside because, you know, it's hard to have a practice when you're on the road touring.
Oh, good Lord, with your schedule?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of been set aside. I decided actually a big move 10 years ago was that I decided to go back to school. I decided to go to art school, to Ontario College of Art and Design. And I did 1 year in the fine arts program. And then I joined a little band called Bahamas. Mm. And he kind of was blowing up at that point and said, you know, why don't you ditch school and just come on the road with me? And I said, okay. Even though, you know, I'd gone back to school again at 27. But I'm really happy that I made that decision, actually, because mm-hmm. it completely changed my life and my whole trajectory. And, you know, I can always go back and train and take classes in art. But
it's funny how you go from one direction. And I hear so many songs, especially on the radio today, just a couple interviews I've done in the last week that have referred to if you knew now what you knew then.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, when I see your story and where you are today, the strength that you have, the empowering light that you have as a woman, it's I don't think it would have been there if you didn't go on this journey. It might have been a hard road, and it might have been a difficult road, but at the same time, you are who you are today because of it.
Absolutely. There's a lot of painful moments, you know, a lot of heartbreak and rejection, and any artistic pursuit comes with things like that. And especially if you're a really deep feeler like me or an empath, those things can even affect you more deeply than others. But
we're sisters that way.
Yeah.
We are definitely sisters that way.
Yes. I don't regret any part of the journey. And I certainly, you know, sometimes you can say, oh, I wish I'd done this sooner in terms of my pursuing my solo career. But every step of the journey has prepared me now. And, and you know, it's only the right time when you decide to do it. And there's no other time it should have happened than now. And I can take all the lessons I've learned and apply that now, which I couldn't have, you know, when I was 20. I would have not known what I was doing. Yeah.
Big difference because you wouldn't have been ready, you know, then, you know, to the knowledge that you have now. And like, you were sneaking into bars at the age of 16 and 17. I can say
that
now.
I was,
I can say that now. Okay. Yeah.
Statute of limitation.
Saves you for that one.
Yeah.
So just trying to get on any stage you could to sing. So it was in your blood. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just something that you pursued and just wanted to do so much. Now that you've got that unique perspective and looking at the stage in different ways, because you've been a backup vocalist, you've been that powerhouse voice, you know, on the biggest stages in the world, and now center stage, it must be so emotional and so fulfilling for you and what this journey has meant to you to get to the stage where you are in your career.
Yes, of course. And I think that it's been funny timing because of the pandemic that I haven't been able to really have opportunities to perform this record yet or to, you know, really share the songs with a live audience. So I know that when that time comes, there'll be a whole new level of meaning and emotion that will, you know, that I can experience through that. But yeah, just the process of finally stepping into my own. And the album is called Junk Jewelry, and it's called that because, you know, all the songs were written over the span of many years, and they're kind of junky demos, like diamonds in the rough that needed to kind of be excavated and made real. But being a backing singer, you're kind of, you can sometimes feel just like the shiny, pretty thing on the sidelines, and you're never really given your moment in the light, and you can kind of feel like a bit of a fraud, like a piece of junk jewelry that's like, you're around all the gems and all the stars, but you're not, the success is not yours. You know, you're kind of supporting someone else's success. And so now, I'm just trying to fully realize that it's my time to shine as a solo artist, and also share some of the messiness that's been my life, but to show that there's beauty within that roughness and the hurt that's being communicated in the lyrics, that it's all those painful things just make you more beautiful and strong and fortified.
Exactly. It's such a beautiful story when you're listening to your lyrics and how you express yourself, you know, in your songs. And it's just such a beautiful body of work. It's an incredible body of work.
Thank
I've had
you.
The pleasure of being able to listen to it. You've just done an amazing job for yourself. That's your dreams,
you.
Girl. That's your legacy. And that's pretty
Thanks
special.
So much. Yeah, there's a lot of story to be told in there in the last 10 years that is very personal, and it involves, you know, other people who are also in the public eye. And so it's a tricky
balance.
You know, you want to share, but you don't want to divulge too much or like out a person who's kind of already in the public. And I think anyone who's got a history of dating artists like I do, and when you're an artist yourself, there's going to be some messiness. Yeah. And I certainly have seen it all in that regard. You know, and dealt with a lot of, with the partnership that was heavily seeped in addiction and, you know, lies
so
and, hiding who you truly are. And there's a lot of songs about that period of time. And, I'm just, you know, you say now that every day you get stronger. And actually, yesterday I was given the opportunity to kind of, that ex-partner is in the AA process and is in the process of doing their ninth step, which is amends. And I was offered an opportunity to kind of confront that person and get to share
your feelings,
you know. Yeah, and like the trauma that was and the harm that was caused. Not that we haven't discussed that in the past, but it's really different. Just soberly kind of, mm-hmm. yeah. But I actually decided not to take that opportunity because I felt like, you know what, I've processed all of this and I've done a lot of cathartic things like writing this album that have helped me. And that person has released a whole album about that period of time, which was also cathartic for me and healing for me. So I kind of just decided not to, even though it's very fortunate because a lot of victims don't get a chance to confront their abuser in that way. But uh-huh. yeah, yesterday was just a day where I was like, you know what? I am on the way to being healed and I don't need to like fully open up that can of worms again.
You don't need and that validation just, from them.
Right. I need to find that, you know, within myself. And a lot of this process of, that's the whole process of stepping into my solo career is really just trusting myself and knowing that I have something to share and that yeah. I am strong enough standing on my own.
You know? Well, I'm telling you, when you go live with this, I'll be right there.
You got all access VIP, honey.
I'll be right there and I will give you that support every step of the way. Trust me.
Thank you.
Because, you know, just this journey and understanding, you know, what you've been mm-hmm. through. And a lot of fans don't. We're going to get into that when we go through some of these songs mm-hmm. here. You have gone through an incredible journey of 10 years being mm-hmm. on stage and being away from home, which is not mm-hmm. an easy journey. But you have been on a journey that has led you to stages like the Royal Albert Hall in London, Red Rocks Amphitheater, the Fillmore's of Raymond Auditorium in Nashville, Paris. You've been everywhere. And the list of places and the people that you have performed with. And, you know, just taking a sneak peek at that and just taking that moment to say, hey, you know, I'm only 37. Mm-hmm. You have accomplished so much. You've sung with Neil Young, Willie Nelson, Robert Plant, Hall & Oates. I love Hall & Oates.
Me you know, too.
The Rolling Stones, like it's just the list goes on and on. That's just to name just a few of the people. You've also had syncs on your shows with Grey's Anatomy, The Ranch. You know, your voice has been mm-hmm. heard in so many places that the fans don't even realize. And, you know, for you to take a moment and step back, totaling, it's going to be well over 150 million collective streams and counting, you know, to the things that you have done. And that's mm-hmm. insane accomplishment. And this is just a new junction in that journey of that beautiful voice of yours that got you there.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I am very proud and very fortunate. I almost like it makes me emotional to think about all the opportunities that I've been afforded and all the amazing artists who've allowed me to stand by their side and to learn from them and to like the on the ground education mm-hmm. and cutting my teeth the last over 10 years has been just so paramount to, you know, feeling confident now to do this. But I just feel so lucky to have come along on the ride with a lot of my friends and loved ones and their successes. And, you know, that list that you just named, it's sometimes hard, again, as I was saying, to feel like that's your success.
But it is. But it is.
And it is, yeah. And I think that's been part of what I've been trying to accept, you know, and say, you earned this, you worked really hard, and you deserve to take in those accolades and to be proud to say, this is what I've done.
It's your voice.
Even if it wasn't under my own name. Yeah.
It's your voice, though. Your voice mm-hmm. helped to make those records, you know, as good as they are. And without mm-hmm. that, they wouldn't have been. You know, you're just, mm-hmm. It's being able to give yourself that self-love and say, you know what, you didn't just end up on a stage, you know, because of theater or anything else. You ended up on a stage because of your voice. And that's you. That's your body. Mm-hmm. That's you. And that's your mm-hmm. gift. And we are so incredibly grateful, you know, for that, because it's just an amazing journey to watch you on, to hear, you know, what you've done. But for me, especially, you know, for the fans out there, for me to have been able to hear this body of work already, and mm-hmm. it's pretty darn special. You killed me with Letting You Go. When I heard that, it's just the goosebumps still. I can play that one again and again and again. It's on the top of my playlist.
Oh, I love that.
It's just such a beautiful song. And I can't help it. You know, it's just, I get the goosebumps. I get the hairs on the back of my neck. And tell us about Jenny and the band Paper Bird and joining that part of your journey.
Oh, that was one of the luckiest things that could have happened to me. I had exited Bahamas, I guess, around 2014 or 15. And at the time, I was just kind of on the road with that ex-partner I was speaking with, who was kind of touring the world. And I was living kind of vicariously through his success, to be honest, you know, because I was kind of really emotionally damaged from
going through everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I kind of didn't know what direction to go in next, but I've always kind of been a person that trusts in the flow and trusts that opportunities will come and that I need to take what comes to me and go with it. Mm-hmm. Maybe sometimes I should have more of a 5-year plan, but I kind of am like, I just like to trust and like, and see what the universe offers me. Mm-hmm. And I was in Austin with that ex-partner while they were on tour, and I got a phone call from one of the members of Paper Bird, they're a Colorado band. At that point, they'd been a band for about 8 years and had a lot of success, you know, locally in the Colorado area and beyond. And I had met them on the road just at different festivals, and we had a lot of mutual friends, and I guess they'd seen me perform with Bahamas. And they called and said one of their core members, there's three front women, there's always been three front women in Paper Bird, mm-hmm. and one was leaving to pursue her own solo career, but they had tours booked and they, you know, wanted to follow through with their commitment. So they were like, will you just learn the songs and come be the new member of the band? And I kind of just was like, I don't know how this is going to work. I live in Toronto. You guys are in Colorado, but let's try it out, you know? So, and we really made it work. And I'm so lucky to have had those beautiful people just really sacrificing a lot and getting me there to Colorado, opening up their home so that I could live there with them and rehearse and go on the road with them. So that started a little journey of writing a record together, and we shared a publicist or some form of that with John Oates. Mm-hmm. And he was looking for kind of young emerging acts to work with possibly or to write with. Mm-hmm. And so initially he came to we lived up in Evergreen on a big dude ranch, we call it. And he came out there and we were just going to write together. We did a session. We were all pretty starstruck and like, what is happening? John Oates is in our house. Okay. Some tea. Like, let's sit and just jam. And that was an amazing experience. And it could have ended there and we could have been happy. But at the end of the session, he kind of was like, do you guys want to make a record? And we're like, yes, we do. You want to come to Nashville and do it? We're like, he's like, if you can get a flight there, if you can get yourselves out to Nashville, I have a studio. And we were like, yeah, sure. We didn't know that it was this like incredible studio, you know, in Berry Hill that's owned by members of Journey and run by this man, David Kalamuski, who's worked with everyone, Keith mm-hmm. Urban, Taylor Swift. Like, so David and John co-produced that record, and it was such a wonderful time of excitement and possibility and just having this opportunity to be in this really, you know, amazing studio. We were recording through like the board that was in the Sausalito studio that Rumors was started on and that Stevie Wonder had recorded into and Aretha and Fly.
So much history.
And so, yeah, like every instrument was like, oh, that was the guitar from the last session Janice played before she died or whatever. Like, we were just like such nerds in this little, you know, treasure trove of
That'd
history.
Be me. That'd be me.
Yeah. Just freaking out every day and like, play it cool. Like, trying to be like, yeah, yeah. So we just had such an incredible time, and making that record is like one of the highlights of my career for sure. You know, that band kind of, after that record, unfortunately, they'd been a band for about 10 years. And when you're a band for that long, there's a lot of mm-hmm. history, a lot of, you know, sometimes it's better for people to just close that chapter.
Yeah. Absolutely.
There was no animosity or anything like that. It just kind of, for them, they felt like it had run its course in that configuration and they all wanted to pursue different things. And that was, you know, honestly, like hard for me to swallow because mm-hmm. I just got here.
Wait a minute.
Made a record.
Letting You Go by Carly Aikens right here on Music's Journey.
I am Kim Sear, and that was Letting You Go by my very special guest, Canadian powerhouse Carly Aikens, from her forthcoming debut album called Junk Jewelry, which is coming out this fall. Hallelujah moment that was, taking us to church, you were.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention Jenny from Paper Bird. She wrote that song when I first joined the band so that I would have a bit of repertoire of, you know, a song to sing, my own song in the set. And she generously just wrote that for me. And you know, I got to sing that all across America for a bit, but it never made that album with Oates. It didn't make the cut. And so I just had this beautiful song that I love to sing, and I knew I had to, you know, give it a life and
thank God.
Give it a moment. Yeah.
I am so grateful for that. This one is going to stick around for me for a very long time. Amazing. I love it. Absolutely love it. It's got a lot of meaning for so many different people. And mm-hmm. that's what I love behind the lyrics. So many different things that are going on in life that people can attach those lyrics to. Yeah. Talk about performing this one and feeling that pain from love and moving on from your past, because that's what the whole song's about is, you know, you have that dream of what you thought mm-hmm. was going to happen in life. And then, yep. you know, accepting what's happening now, you know, in the yeah. very end of it, you know?
We've talked about this before, but how songs can take on a new meaning, you know, over time. Like when I first started singing that song, I was trying to let go of, again, my time with Bahamas and, you know, thinking that was going to go a certain way or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so it had that meaning at first to me when I sang it. And it was always, when we do it, there was always that moment where you could like hear the crowd go quiet. And then they'd like cheer in the middle when you sing those big notes or whatever. And so I could tell that it was special just by the way the crowd always reacted to it. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, when I recorded it, finally I got to record it with Brad Barr, who's one of my, like, from the Barr Brothers, one of my favorite guitar players of all time. And that was really special. But at the time, it had taken on a different meaning because of, you know, consequential relationships that had failed or whatever since I originally started singing it. I mean, I guess this is, I've talked a lot about failed relationships, everyone. I'm still, you know, not married. I've struggled with keeping a relationship alive, but so yeah, this song has been sung to many men, like, but my partner, who I made the record with at the time, we've since split up since the record's been done. And so now it even has an even different meaning now that it's recorded. But it's ultimately, sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, it's good, mm-hmm. you know, when you're looking at it in the message behind it, is that it's good to say it's okay to still feel pain for somebody you cared about. Mm-hmm. You know, whether or not it's 10 years ago or whether it's 2 months ago. You know, that pain is real. It's there. It's a part of your life. You loved that person. And you got to give mm-hmm. yourself permission to say it's okay that it hurts.
Yeah. And I I'm a person who has really struggled with letting go. And I've set my life up where I'm in a career where it's very transient. You're mm-hmm. constantly kind of, you know, I've been in a lot of different bands that I've had to kind of say goodbye to. There's that whole Colorado chapter of, like, there's a whole community there that I was a part of, and now I live over here and I don't see them. And mm-hmm. all that's very painful for me because I really hold on to those things, and it's always been a struggle to, like, let go of things and just say, that was that time, that period, and it ran its course, and, you know, you got to move on. But so yeah, that song takes on many meanings. And now, of course, after is still in the midst of a pandemic, we've had to let go of a lot of things collectively and in our industry, letting go of a lot of dreams and, you know, plans and ideas that aren't going to come to fruition for many reasons. So yeah, I think the song can take on a meaning, and, you know, that's the beauty of music and lyrics, that anyone can, you know, it's a good song when someone can kind of listen to that and say, oh, you're talking about me and yeah. you're speaking to my experience. And I mean, this one's such a universal theme that I think lots of people can relate to.
Gravitate to it. Sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You were living part-time in Toronto, part-time in Colorado. You were living mm-hmm. out of a suitcase. And, you yeah. know, during that downtime, you know, it's so hard to get that rhythm in any kind of relationship or joking about it. But at the same time, it's like a very real thing for you, because I can't imagine being uprooted constantly, just starting to get a rhythm, getting home, just getting your feet back mm-hmm. into just trying to calm your mind down and preparing for what you got to get back out to do. And that's a life of a singer and a musician. but it's so difficult, you know, for you to be able to maintain, you know, that connection.
I think it's takes a certain type of person, and oftentimes people get broken by living that this lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And you know, you only have an opportunity to meet other people who are probably living that same lifestyle. So when you put two people together who are both trying to balance domestic life with touring, it's extremely difficult. And I think I finally have had this, you know, year and a half or 2 years now to be in one place. And I'm still finding that I'm figuring out a rhythm of domestic life, you know. It's very challenging.
Different life altogether.
Exhausting. It's exhausting for sure. And so in a lot of ways, I am grateful to be kind of forced into rest that, you know, I've had doctors in the past say, like, you're clinically exhausted. You need to be in bed for 2 months. You need to stop traveling so much. Mm-hmm. And I just say, thanks for the tip. Here I go again. Out I go, you know. So kind of being forced into this rest and trying to find a rhythm and trying to practice self-care and figure out what that looks like. After years of just, like you said, living out of a suitcase and being out of your comfort zone at all times. But it creates a real strength of character in that you're like extremely adaptable and you're flexible but it can cause problems when you finally slow down and you're like, I don't know how to live a normal life, you know?
And that's funny because, you know, most artists will tell you, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. They have gone through, and that we're talking some really big names in the industry mm-hmm. that have now stopped doing all that touring and only do one tour, you know, a year where they're doing the recording, but they've really balanced it because they've had to, you know, because mm-hmm. it takes so much out of you mentally that people just don't understand. They think it's such a glamorous life doing all this mm-hmm. world traveling. You get to do this, but you really don't. You know, it's like when you're traveling, you don't really get to see much of where you are. You know, you're like, I know some of the shows that you've done, you might be there more than one night, but for most mm-hmm. artists, they don't.
No.
And it's so difficult to even find even any kind of ground. And that's where addictions come in. You know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of vices that come into place. And just for people, you know, that aren't doing that kind of lifestyle, you know, people are finding that mental illness so tough right now. You know, dealing with, you know, depression and dealing with, you know, that quiet time away from the noise, being able to just mm-hmm. go see family and friends can ground you so easily. But when you have that taken from you too, with a pandemic and then not being able to tour and not be able to, you know, sit there and go into the studio and just be around the people that you're so used to being with and, mm-hmm. you know, in an unfamiliar place, which is unfamiliar at home. It's not the skin you're used to. You're used to traveling. And it's tough. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize how difficult that transition is. And that's why you're so darn inspiring.
Well, thank you. You know, there's a lot going on in the world, bigger problems than like, poor me, I can't tour right now. But it's a very privileged position, first of all, to be able to tour. But it's also
so hard.
It's very difficult. And like you said, people think it's a very glamorous. And it is a lot of fun. Like, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of beautiful, magical, obviously. And a lot of that happens, you know, within a couple hours of the day mm-hmm. When you're on stage and then after when you're in that kind of twilight zone and or twilight, more like a euphoric zone. Mm-hmm. And then you can't sleep because your adrenaline is pumped at 3 a.m. Yeah, but that causes a whole myriad of other problems. But I've seen firsthand how that lifestyle can destroy people if they're not prepared. And there's no way to really prepare anyone for that, for when success comes and what it actually takes, the kind of sacrifices people have to make to maintain that success.
But you've also got people around you too. It's not just you and you guys getting on stage. You've got management, you've got, you know, other band members, promoters, everybody is at you. Right?
When you start to realize that you've gone from, you know, playing small bars with your friends and just because you love it, when you get to the next level or to the highest level and you realize there's hundreds of people whose livelihood counts on you showing up, mm-hmm. it's an incredible amount of pressure. And yeah, it can lead to very destructive coping mechanisms and to a lot of people just trying to hide, you know, there's such a,
yeah,
not only is there a stigma with mental illness, but when you're really just trying to hold it together, you can go to some pretty dark places, you know, when you're not able to express like, I can't do this anymore. I need rest. And it's like, no, you can't. Mm-hmm. We have to keep this machine going. It's a machine. And most of the time, we as artists, our wellness isn't prioritized because
at all.
Money is the main motive. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to trust people and hard to trust that people are looking out for your best interests.
That's that core that we talk about that is so incredible, you know, to find. It's difficult mm-hmm. to find, but it's so incredibly important, you know, to have that base around you, to the people that aren't looking at that. They're looking at your well-being and saying, hey, you know what, you need this time off, you know, every month, this is what you're going to get. It's not about, you know, booking every single city, you know, that's it takes a long time to get there though.
Yeah, and most people don't have teams that are prioritizing that, you mm-hmm. know, like we've seen it happen so many times. You know, I always think of like Amy Winehouse getting her final performance and just getting pushed out on stage, like mm-hmm. flown there while she's unconscious and pushed out, you know, because it's like, well, there's 80,000 people here. We're not going to refund their tickets. Just go out. And it's disgusting to witness.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an extreme example, but
it's true, though.
It happens.
It's true, and it happens. We hear it all the time, you know, in mm-hmm. this business. Now, when it comes to your debut solo album, you know, that mm-hmm. I've just said is like that body of work, that forthcoming EP that you got coming out called Junk Jewelry, the title of the album, we've talked about that, but just to know the experience, you know, that's gone into that, you know, what you were going mm-hmm. through in your musical journey, what you were going through in your life, every single one of those days when you were writing mm-hmm. all of these pieces, you know, it's mm-hmm. just, it's a window, you know, each one of them, it's just a little snippet of what you were going through. And it's, I absolutely love it and commend you, you know, for taking, you know, that step forward, you know, in your solo career, but also just to express yourself. And I think that's what fans connect with, is when you express yourself to what you're actually really going through. It's not a song that's great for radio, you know, that you're concentrating on. You're focusing on delivering lyrics that mean something to you. And that's what mm-hmm. we gravitate to. And, you know, it's an amazing body of work.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, it's hard to, people resonate with authenticity, and it's a hard balance to not put yourself, you want to protect yourself and not be too vulnerable, but mm-hmm. That vulnerability is truly what speaks
That's
to people
magic.
And resonates with people, and especially right now, I think
now than ever, right?
Yeah, it's hard not to be led with like, what is radio on, as you said, or, you know, how can we market this, or how can I write a song that's going to be a hit? For this album, I just wanted to, give little snippets of a long history. So it, you know, it might seem like different styles of songs juxtaposed in one body, but like the common thread is my voice mm-hmm. and my story. So yeah, it is. It's sometimes tricky to like, how do we market this? What kind of music is this?
love the title. It's perfect, though. You know, it suits exactly what you just said. Different snippets mm-hmm. that might not be like a solid, you know, when you have an idea of what you're going to be doing, you know, mm-hmm. when it cut to a concept to an album. But this is perfect. Yeah. It's all of that. It's all these different types of music and different sounds that you've got, but also the same common denominator, and that is mm-hmm. all about your life. And that's what it is. It's amazing. You've released Letting You Go, Funny Honey, mm-hmm. and now mm-hmm. Tougher. So we're going to talk about that one right now, because this is a very special song again. It's just such a cool song, and it's called Tougher because of the life lessons within yourself and others is so important and so empowering. Tell us about writing this one, your writing process.
This one was, I think I wrote it in the process of, again, when we were working with John Oates, we were trying, there's six songwriters on Paper Bird. So we were all pooling our collective songwriting together, and he kind of helped curate for that record. So there was a lot of songs left over. And I think I kind of started this one, and it was during the time of the height of the Me Too movement, or the start of it. Mm-hmm. It was around the time of the Women's March and Trump being elected, and me being a Canadian in America at that time, it was a very interesting time to be there, and a very educational time. And I remember the election and being in Portland, you know, with a bunch of artists from all over the world, really. We were all there. We had a pussy power cake and we had champagne. We're like, a woman's getting elected. Okay, let's celebrate. And just watching and the collective, like, you know, terror, like devastation that came over us through the night as watching him kind of take the lead, and just realizing, like, oh, that was a breakthrough moment for me, you know, when it's like, I'm surrounded by all these like-minded people. And I think that everyone thinks this way, that, like, why would we elect a man who's clearly has no respect for women and is an abusive person and whatever. Of course, the list could go on about that person. But just realizing, like, oh, the world, not everyone thinks like we do in this little bubble of, you know, like-minded people. And then watching, like, the kind of hearings that went on with Christine Blasey Ford, when she kind of outed him as her abuser and, you know, was like, this person is not fit to be Supreme Court Justice, and he still got elected. All of those things tied in together. It was just like, okay, this woman's standing here, like, putting her family and her life at risk. That's actually what she was doing. She was getting death threats for outing this abuser. Mm-hmm. And then there's all these senators apologizing to him, saying, like, we're sorry what this has done to your family and your career. And he was kind of like a blubbering idiot. And she was so strong and standing there, like, so composed and assured. Back. Yeah, and I think that moment, seeing that, inspired the lyric of, like, these bullies who think they can abuse people and get away with it, and the strength and power that comes with surviving. And people that are like, I've made it through what you put me through, and I'm still standing here, and I'm not going to let you. It's abuse, just like, it's not a one-time moment when someone is abused. It stays with you all of your life. And so you're constantly having to overcome that. And I know that we both, you know, share, as most women do, mm-hmm. and a lot of people. So anyway, this song is kind of just, yeah, like a little anthem to say, like, we're taking tougher than our abusers. We're here, baby. And we're taking it back. Yeah.
Having that compassion, I think, was so important, you know, for people and what we've gone through in this last year and a half, what we've watched mm-hmm. other countries mm-hmm. go through. And, you know, understanding that there's different ways, you know, to disagree. There's ways mm-hmm. that you can do it without conflict. You know, you can debate issues, you can do all of those things, and we can still be individuals and think for ourselves. But, you know, without having to hurt, you know, without that indifference, love instead, and just respect each other. And it's just, I'm hoping and praying. Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, for generations and generations, we have lost a lot of that perspective. But I'm really hoping that the world can, you know, take a breath and say, is it worth it? You know, mm-hmm. is it worth it to hurt someone and watch that person's life unfold? Because that's a fingerprint you've just left that can last mm-hmm. for child to grandchild to the next generation after that. And so I'm really hoping that we can all learn, you know, just to be able to live within ourselves, but care, just take that time to care about mm-hmm. each other. Our hand reaches out. And it's a ripple effect. You know, you just care about one soul. You can easily do that to the next person. You know, we bump into each other, you know, on a sidewalk. We might not know mm-hmm. that person, and you might not know what that person's going through.
Yeah.
And you don't take that time to say, oh, I'm so sorry. Instead of just giving mm-hmm. somebody a face, that person could be at the bottom of their pool.
Yeah.
You know,
you never know what people have been through. And it's all about compassion. And I think it's really difficult during this time when there's so many opposing views and mm-hmm. everyone's emotions are, and there's a lot at stake, you know, and lives at stake at some points. And I think the only way to peace is through love and compassion and understanding, like, oh, this person has an opposing view. Mm-hmm. What's going on there? You don't know people's stories. And just to have compassion and to listen.
Empower
and instead
each
of
other.
Attacking each other. Yeah.
Empower each other instead of tearing each other down.
Yeah, people won't listen to your perspective if you're coming at them with anger and you know, this authority. You have to do it with compassion and understanding and openness.
Here is Tougher by my very special guest, Carly Akins, right here on Music's Journey. Kim Sear, and that was Tougher. Man, if that doesn't make you want to stand up, and I don't know, it's just a perfect song right now that everybody needs, just for that self-empowering. And that's by my very special guest, Carly Akins. And incredible song. Incredible
Thanks.
song.
Thanks for playing it.
Oh.
That version, that's kind of a studio version of the song. There's an album version that will be on the album when it's released in November, but this is the song, and it's kind of more infant, more raw stage, and I wanted to share that vibe of like the song when it first started out, and there's an energy to that mm-hmm. version and that recording that I think we all felt when we were myself and the musicians co-writers were first kind of demoing it. So I'm happy to kind of share that initial mm-hmm. Version and kind of translate some of that energy that we were feeling when we first started playing it.
Well, you're just ripping, you know, with those vocals, which gives that urgency, you know, and mm-hmm. that empowerment, and the same thing, you know, when you were doing Letting You Go, both of them, it's just incredible power. And that's what I love, just what you deliver in your vocals for this one. It just tells the story so well.
Well, I've been known to rip.
You are ripping it, let me tell you. So we're going to remind everybody, Letting You Go and Tougher off the forthcoming EP, and that is Junk Jewelry. Download it to all your streaming platforms and add it to your playlist and share it with your friends. It brings a whole new audience, you know, a whole new audience to this artist, and for them to be able to hear these incredible songs as well. So you never know what it's going to mean to them. So share it. And then you can also call your local radio stations as well and request the songs that you love to be added into the rotation. The world
yes.
needs positive messages. So
I think so. And I'm trying to, you know, we're all trying to stay positive and do the best of what we got right now. And I really appreciate your support and your positive words of encouragement. They mean a lot. And, you know, to everyone who's listening, if you have an artist right now that's really speaking to you, reach out to them. Mm-hmm. You know, you never know, even if it's a really famous artist, they might read what you send. And just, it means so much to artists to hear that things are resonating with people, because it's really all that any artist wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the stories to what their lyrics and their songs are doing for people out there. And I don't care how big the name is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that mm-hmm. everybody needs that, to know that you're touching them, because that helps them to choose the next songs too. You know, if they haven't written them and they've been written for them, or, you know, if they're yeah. writing them themselves, they're going to see, you know, what it's done, you know, to someone's mm-hmm. life. And I think it's really important for all of us to have that voice. And that's what music does, right?
Yeah. There's been so many moments during this time where I'm like, ready to give up. And then someone will just message me and tell me what a song means to them, or, you know, mm-hmm. that's gotten them through something. And just hearing from that one person just helps me to keep moving forward. So again, like, really, it means the world to artists to hear that feedback from people.
And you speak your truth, and you give yourself a voice, and you're empowering women around the world. And you can see that movement in the music industry. And mm-hmm. we're so grateful for artists like yourself that are out there for a woman. You know, it's not easy in this music industry. It really hasn't been all these years. And mm-hmm. tell what that moment's been like for you to become that solo artist and stepping out onto the center stage as a woman.
Well, certainly, you know, it's difficult for women, of course, but I'm a white woman. And so I have been afforded many privileges that a lot of other women have not. And, you know, the last year and a half has really taught me a lot about that. I've been doing a lot of personal learning and realizing that my experience as a woman is not the same as every woman in this industry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, coming to terms with that, a lot of my success has been the result of white males, you know, mm-hmm. taking me along on their journey. But yeah, that being said, of course, there's been a lot of diversity within my sphere to overcome. And I think that feels like it's changing. And I've been lucky enough to, for the most part, work with really supportive men. Mm-hmm. You know, I really hope to, on my next record, really try to explore and find more women, especially in producer roles or engineering roles. It's so difficult to find women who are in those roles, who have had the opportunity to learn and be in the position to learn how to mm-hmm. take on those roles. And just even the idea of a producer, it's basically like, find a man that tells you that it's good, or what, you know, the tastemaker, that, like, it's even the idea of what that is a bit problematic to me, but mm-hmm. I'd love to work with more women in the future in all capacities, you know, photographers, artists.
I'm here.
Yeah, you're a photographer. Want to do my next headshot?
Sure, I can do that.
Made by Time Glossy?
Yeah. I could do that. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my goal moving forward, is to just involve more women, because it's easy, you know, it was comfortable for me to tap into the pool of the men that I've grown up with, working with, or, you know, or work with this producer because he's worked on all of these albums. But to give opportunities to women in those roles is important to me moving forward. And
we've got a lot of great Canadian talent, you know, absolutely. That's a lot of these singers that have been coming up that are producers and started out as producers. And you're starting to see, you know, quite a few of them, you know, coming forward, which is really great, you know, to see.
It's exciting. Mm-hmm. And especially now that, you know, recording, home recording, and you don't need a big studio. You don't need access to a studio necessarily to make recordings. So it's really exciting that women can teach themselves in those capacities, and they don't need to have access to, like, fancy equipment or whatever. That's all really exciting. And I know there's a lot of really young women and girls that are going to be the next generation of superstars.
Oh, man, they're good.
It's exciting. Yeah.
And that's the silver lining, you know, when it comes to the pandemic right now, that you don't have to be in a studio, and, you know, you can still release some music. And the other part of it too is that, you know, it's not all judged by a radio station either. You know, when it comes to the digital platforms, the streaming platforms, you know, the fans really have the voice. And, you know, if they're sharing it on their playlists and they're adding it to their friends lists, and, you know, you're sharing it amongst each other, like, people are being able to share music across the world where we've never been able to do before. So we've got a listening audience that we've never had before. And, you know, when it's Spotify and Amazon and, you know, all the streaming platforms and Deezer, all of them, they have really opened up the door when it comes to leveling out the playing field. When it comes to artists today. So when you have the big artists that are getting onto the radio station all the time because they've had a hit and they're just automatically played, you know, a lot of these independent artists are being able to pick up that ground where they weren't able to have that shot before. And you're getting your music out there, and it's on how many streams you get and how many playlists you get, and these awards that are given out to these streaming platforms. So it's really been nice to see that.
Yeah, it's easy to feel overwhelmed by, you know, or there's, like, sometimes it feels like there's an oversaturation, or how do you break through the noise? And these platforms have allowed, like, so many artists to be able to be heard. The pool is a lot bigger now, and so, yes, it is a bit more challenging to break through and get on those playlists and whatnot, but it's, yes, it affords so much more opportunity for young artists. And people don't understand, like, what a radio campaign costs, you know,
or
like, it's insane. And, and it's great, you know, even like satellite, like Sirius,
XM
radio is amazing and, you know, pays artists really, really fairly and generously, I feel. So there's a lot, it's been amazing to start, you know, in 2005 or whatever, or six, when I first really started touring and emerging into the music scene, to just, back then it was like MySpace, and that, you know,
it's,
and to see
so
how
quickly.
Rapidly it's changed. And sometimes I'm like, okay, grandma, time to, like, do some research and figure this out, you know.
But it's hard,
it's
because
so
you guys
different.
You guys have to put, well, same here, you know, like when I used to do the photography, and when I was, you know, in front of the television all the time, you know, I was used to just being that person that interviewed. And then I started going behind the pit and started doing the interviews, just working on my photography, and because that's the artistry, you know, for me too. But it was just taking pictures, posting them, getting them out to the artists, then you put them up for the fans. But now it's just, you got to have so many hats. You got to be, you know, TikTok, got to be on Twitter, you got to be, you know, Facebook and all these live streaming platforms. And it takes somebody a full-time job, you know, for an independent artist to be able to get their music out there, to be able to be engaging, you know, with the fans. Then you got your live streaming that you want to see these live performances now, because that's what everybody's, you know, having to do too, you know, in order to connect with the fans. It's just, then you got your marketing, then you got your promoters, then you got your radio people that are selling, you know, they're out there promoting your song, you know, in order to get all the radio stations to play it. Then you got to go on tour to pay for that. For just a radio tour.
Oh, yeah, and you got to pay for the tour.
Yeah. And then figure that out. It's just insane, you know, what it costs.
It's a lot.
For an artist today, where before it was turnkey, you know, like when somebody walked into a bar and saw you, they liked you, they signed you to a label, they took care of that. Now, you know, the labels want turnkey. They want you guys to have got so many followers.
Yeah, you have to be at a certain, you have to have done all the work for them, basically.
Yeah.
And
tough.
Yeah, it's... it's such a tough position right now, but and I commend anyone who's still pursuing it. And it's, again, when we're talking about privilege, and a lot of artists don't even get to the place where they even feel that they can pursue this industry, you know. And so it's really imperative that support systems are put in place and grant systems and whatnot that support kids like that to give them leverage, you know. You really only in the past have been able to really have success, I think, either with luck and, you know, you've come from nothing and you're discovered and you blow up, or, and that's, we can count on one hand those people, or you have a really strong support system, you have money, you have a family that has money and can support you to do this work, because otherwise it's like virtually impossible. So
I'm excited
to see that we are putting a spotlight more on trying to support communities
everybody.
And artists in those communities and whatnot. So it's exciting.
It's an exciting time. Do you have any live shows coming up?
I don't have anything that we can announce yet. And I really am looking forward to being able to do that.
I can't wait and to see you play live.
I know, I'm so excited. It's time to...
it's been so long.
Summer's over, and it's time to get, you know, pull up our bootstraps, and I'm going to get the band together. And I've been... it's been interesting, too, because people are going back on the road and stuff, so I'm trying to get my lineup finalized of who's going to be in my band. I have an embarrassment of riches of... colleagues to choose from who are willing to play with me. So I'm really excited to assemble this band.
Oh, you're going to have to keep me posted.
However, all the women that sing, all the women that sing with me have all had babies now over the pandemic. So I'm going to have to find some new singers that aren't raising babies right now, but we'll see.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's exciting. I'm looking forward to finally getting the songs on their feet. It's going to be amazing.
Man. Cannot wait. Mm-hmm. Cannot wait. So do you have the release date? You said November. I heard you say that.
It's November. We're not announcing it quite yet, but yes, it will be in November.
Yay.
After so long, I can't wait for everybody to hear this whole album.
It's so cool. Do you have time for a few burning questions?
Oh, okay.
All right.
I feel like we've really dug deep already.
I
can't even imagine what else to cover. Please, burn away.
Favorite song of all time.
Oh, that's too hard. Oh my gosh. I don't know. I'm just going to say like A Case of You by Joni. It's probably one of the most beautiful songs written, but I have too many favorite songs. But next question.
All right, next one. Okay, if you had a dream write and performance that you would love to have with one of your idols, so they could be past or present, who would it be and why?
A dream night, like performance?
A dream write. Like a writing session and performance.
Writing session.
You know, with one of your idols. It could be somebody that's already passed away or, you know, somebody that's still here.
Oh,
who would it be
gosh.
And why?
These are so hard. You know what? Just for my parents' sake, to make them proud, it would be Billy Joel. I'd write a song with Billy Joel, and my dad would die a happy man and be like, my daughter made it, no matter what I've done in the past. Yeah, that would be just to please my parents. But I have many other answers I could give.
I remember your dad talking about that at Kempenfest. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's, I mean, we were raised on Billy. That's for right. Sure.
Okay. Yeah. So name an artist, American artist, and a Canadian artist on the radio today that inspires you as a songwriter.
Canadian artist, probably number one. Well, there's a couple of women. My friend Tamara Lindemann, who's the Weather Station. I've watched her career unfold. And are you familiar with her?
No.
Anyone who's not, please do familiarize yourself. The Weather Station, most incredible songwriter, and her recent album is like blowing up, and it's Rolling Stone's favorite album. Like it's blowing up. So
you've traveled the world. What is the one place that you ate that has been your absolute favorite anywhere you've gone?
I've been trying to rack my brain, and I, like, not one stands out, but when I got to tour through Italy, which you don't really get to do that often because there's not a lot of venues in Italy. Mm-hmm. It's my homeland. It's where my mom's from. And just even eating a bowl of pasta on the, you know, at any random cafe. I can't name one in particular, but
they're all so
I love
fresh.
Italian food.
They're yeah, all so fresh, aren't they?
Give me fresh pasta. Give me a bolognese, and I'm a happy girl.
Yeah, see, I should have been born Italian.
Yes.
I always said that. Should have been born Italian. It's my favorite food. My absolute favorite
too.
Food. Okay.
Mine too.
So your best, most useless talent.
My best, most useless talent. I'm really good at... Well, it's not useless, but I'm good at entertaining children. Children really like me. And, you know, give me your tired, give me your weak, and I will entertain them.
Watch what you wish for.
And then I will happily hand them back to you after an hour and go and have a drink.
My dad used to wind us, like my son and any of the grandkids, they used to wind them up with, you know, sugar, and it'd just be so much fun to play, you know, at grandpa's house. And then he'd just wind them all up and then just drop them off and laugh and say, yeah.
Of course.
Yep.
Yeah. Have fun.
Have a good time trying to get them to sleep now. Yeah.
Watch yeah, how that exactly. Works. Yeah.
Favorite moment on stage so far?
There's been a lot of moments that you mentioned. Royal Albert Hall was pretty cool just to stand in that like massive room and that the Beatles have sung about, you know. But probably any time that I've got to sing at Red Rocks, which I don't know how I lucked out, but I've sang there multiple times and it never gets old, you know. And being in Colorado, they are lucky enough to have that as like their local venue, which is like the most breathtaking.
Amazing.
And yeah, just nothing can top just like when the sun goes down behind the rocks and the lights come on and it's just like a wall of people. That's nothing tops that.
Amazing.
Also, I got to sing it. I've sang with some orchestras before. I sang at Chautauqua, which is a Colorado beautiful symphony room. So anytime I've got to sing with orchestras is always like, you know, check
top.
That off the bucket list.
That's
yeah.
Like the top there. That's awesome.
Yeah.
As I said, when we get a chance, you and I are going to sit down and we're going to talk about all those memories. Just one of these days, it would be so nice just to be able to do that, wouldn't it?
Oh, man. Yeah. Somebody talk to me about it so I can relive all the moments.
I can do that for you. I can provide
that
for you.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
If you were stranded on an island, and you only could take one photo, one snippet of time in your life, what would it be and why?
One photo. Oh my gosh, that's hard. I guess if we're relating it to music, probably at some point in the first year of touring with Bahamas, any moment in time during that time, because I was just couldn't believe that I got to like sing with my friends and go tour around the world with someone I'd grown up with and looked up to so much. Yeah, I remember that time really fondly and just having so much fun and getting to play with really amazing bands that I loved so much. And just, you know, it being the first kind of time when that actually started to happen was just like one of the happiest times of my life. So probably be a picture of like at the Roundhouse in London playing with like the City and Color Boys or something like that, where we just I was just like on top of the world having the best time.
Very nice. Okay, so what is your favorite thing to do when you get home after being on the road? So like favorite pajamas, long hot bath, like what's your oasis?
I think just putting like a fresh set of crisp sheets and like crawling into your own bed and putting on a movie and a glass of wine or something, and just like finally releasing and being in your own space. For a long time I was kind of like a gypsy, and I'd have to come back and forth from Colorado to Toronto, but I didn't really have an apartment at the time. I was kind of living in between places, and that was really hard to not have, you know, your own little space to be on your own and come back to. So now that I do have that again, it's just like the best feeling to walk into your own space and be alone for the first time in months. You know, when you're on tour, you're never alone.
That's so true. So, Yeah. Trying to find a quiet place would be really tough, wouldn't it?
Yeah. You just, you don't realize how much you're like, you're never alone, which I love. I don't, you know, I'd rather be with friends over being alone, but I think over time, I really appreciated that alone time and just being in your own bed and going to sleep in your own bed is like the best feeling. Yeah.
Is there a favorite movie that you like, that you turn to when you're down or you need a
lift? Oh man, that's like, I am like a bit of a cinephile and I've seen every movie ever made. You know, I think if you've given me like The Princess Bride, I think that's a movie that's like has everything you need in
everything
it.
Everything in it.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe, but there's a million movies I could list there. But,
is there
yeah.
a TV series that you kind of got hooked on during the pandemic?
Is there a TV series I did not watch during the pandemic? Because I don't think so. I have watched everything. But lately I've been loving watching Alone, which
I
is just like,
that.
Yeah, survivalists out
Some
filming
other people
themselves.
Don't understand that, but to me, I never miss it.
Well, because you love wildlife and you love,
I wouldn't do those things. No. Don't get me wrong. I would not do those things. I just like the survival and what people come out with at the end of the journey.
Yeah, and what people can build with their own two hands and just the innovation. It's amazing. And just watching somebody go through that kind of existence and realizing like, whoa, the world was built this way. People had to overcome so much to build the world, you know?
And it changes them for life. Like when they go in there, they're one way, you know, with their own vices and in life and certain things and want that survival skill, but then they come out with something totally different than the survival skill.
I think it resonates with me because you see people being away from their families and just realizing that that is the most important thing. And I've certainly lived that way and missed a lot of milestones in my family's lives. And that's time you can't make up, you know, once you miss it, especially with my little nephews who grow so fast.
Don't they?
And and like every year I'm like in an airport on their birthdays and I feel so much deep guilt for like missing that stuff. So,
because you again, need it for your soul too.
Yeah, I mean, they're my best buds and I love them so much. And it's the closest thing I have to having my own kids. And
I love winding them up and sending them back.
Yeah, I love giving them sugar and then hand them over to my brother and sister. Saying,
here you go.
Out.
See, I'm the favorite aunt. There's a reason why I'm the favorite aunt.
I'm the favorite Gia.
I send them back.
Go sleep in.
Awesome. Okay, so where can everybody see all the latest news and music with you right now?
Well, you can go to CarlyAikins.com and there you can see my paintings as well as my music. So that's kind of my whole portfolio of all the work that I do. My name is spelled kind of weird. It's Carleigh. So in case anyone's looking me up, remember that spelling. And, you know, I'm on all the things. I try to stay active on all the platforms. I'm working on TikTok. I know that I need to be on. I know Grandma needs to get her TikTok game up. But I'm like, do I have to? But
it'll be moving on to something else soon. But yes,
Instagram is usually like the first place that you can catch whatever I'm doing, and you can see both my artworks and my music there, and my under Carly Akins, and then I have another name, Gnarly Breakins, is my...
Oh, I didn't know that one.
Kinda, yeah, that's where I share most of my paintings, and so I have two different kind of accounts. But yeah, Carly Akins on Instagram.
Okay.
Just follow that. Yeah.
All right. And we are going to make sure that all the videos, you know, for this EP are up there on the magazine. So that's For Now and Then magazine. So if everybody wants to go over to that, they'll see the article and all that you've accomplished. And I'm looking forward to that. So I know that this has just been such a special moment for me because I'm such a big fan to begin with. But just to, as I said, just to be a part of the journey and to be able to see you come center stage is just as where you belong. 100%.
Well, I appreciate your support and I love talking to you and getting deep and answering big questions. It means a lot to get to talk to you. So thank you so much.
We have to have one of those girls' nights where
we do.
Even if it's on Zoom, I don't care.
And we should
have a glass of wine and then we can just go really deep and we don't have to worry about nothing. So
hell yeah, I can't wait. Let's make it happen.
We'll do that. All right. So we're gonna get you back. You're gonna come back in November when you're all set to release.
Oh, I'd love to.
Yes,
thank you.
I would love to be a part of that. So Junk Jewelry, the brand new EP that's going to be coming out in November. So don't forget, if you love the music you've heard today, you can download that, stream it on all your platforms, and make sure that you're sharing your playlists. And that's such an important thing to do. And call your local radio station and make sure that you're asking for it to be downloaded to the daily rotation. She's got some beautiful songs. It's a 10-track EP. You're going to love it. And I can't wait for you all to hear it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
I really appreciate you and taking the time to do another interview.
Oh, seriously. You know what? Anytime, anywhere, I'm always there.
Thank you.
Okay.
God love you.
All right.
Okay.
Love you too, girl.
Enjoy your weekend.
You
I
too.
Hope it's relaxing. Okay.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
Okay. Big ciao. Hugs. Okay.
Ciao.
All right. Ciao. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Carly Akins. You can check out all of the interviews on musicsjourney.com. And the interesting articles with the latest music and videos about all the artists that I interview at nowandthenmagazine.com. You can also listen to all the podcasts on all your streaming platforms under Music's Journey Podcast. I have some great shows that are coming up with Smoke and Ashes, Ty Baden, Tim Hicks, the NBC's The Voice, Ricky Duren, Aaron Pritchett, Tracy Miller, New Moon Junction. We have Tora. We have so many more that are coming up. We've got some great, great shows. That's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you once again for tuning into Music's Journey. Have yourselves a wonderful day. When I said to